Boy, it feels better when you win, right? Feels real good when you score points, you have fun doing it, there's a little bit of breathing room, you don't have to sweat that thing on the edge of your seat. That's what the Hawks did this weekend. A lot of you, I'm sure, still very happy about this weekend. How do we feel now? We're 4-2 halfway through the season. What does this game tell us about the next six games and our potential? What did the Hawks figure out here? And what's the most promising thing that came from Saturday? All of this, let's have a day. Let's go. Actually started a podcast on the history of that, recommended to me by, this is from the other day on Taglines. I was trying to source the welcome to the Walk-Ons podcast, by the way, exactly how you wanted to enter this. I was trying to source an unbiased source on the history of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, because I'm an idiot. I know nothing about it, and I just want to hear why and all the things that have happened. And so I got this martyr made podcast, like 23 hours, 6-part series.
23 hours?
Yeah, I'm 3 hours into it. It's fantastic.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. It's great. So, anybody?
You know, Kluve, never been much of a history buff, but I applaud your effort.
Yeah. Just trying to learn. Going to start tonight. Welcome in, by the way. Hope everybody's feeling great. Win covers up a stink, you know? Win makes you feel a little bit better. Start to see the tides turn on the socials. Everything just becomes a little bit okay, especially when you have fun doing it, when you score some points, when you hit the over. Don't want to rub that in Kevin's face, but Hawks almost did it by themselves. Talk about that here in a second. I do want to open this podcast, though, with a fun excerpt from Niall Kinnick's 1939 Heisman Award acceptance speech. No, actually, from 3 days ago on one of our YouTube videos, the preview show, a conversation between me and some idiot. Comment by @JacquelineHyde.
You can't name them.
It's public. It's on our YouTube.
Oh, geez. All right.
It's obviously like a burner account, right?
Probably, yeah. Iowa isn't going
to play like a play on the words of Jekyll and Hyde, probably.
Yeah, must be. Iowa isn't going to win against Washington. Washington will win by at least 3 scores. 31-7. Put that as their prediction. It intrigued me. It was a very cynical comment that we got. A lot of other good comments. We love when you comment on the YouTube, by the way. You know, I'll do the whole Grant thing. Comment on the YouTubes right down below. Thank you. Subscribe. Hit the notification bell. So I respond, because sometimes when I have time, I'll jump in the comments. I'll have some fun conversation, some fun back and forth. So I said, you think that Iowa is going to get beat at home by Washington basically as bad as they just got beat on the road to the best team in the country? Jacqueline Hyde responds, yeah, I do think that. I am being conservative on my prediction, as Washington is capable of laying a 50 burger on Iowa. Iowa doesn't match up well with Washington at all. I watch every game of future Iowa opponents. Stats and highlights don't really tell you much about an opponent. This game will come down to 3 things: turnovers, red zone scoring, and Iowa's pass game. Washington's QB is a smart game manager. He's pretty mobile and has the heart the size of a racehorse. Okay, so this guy has done medical examinations on Rodgers. Interesting. From what I saw, he isn't prone to making bad passes. I think he has one pick this season. On paper, Washington is fairly balanced, but they are a pass-first team. They use the pass to open the run, and it's usually a running back draw play up the gut from a wide shotgun formation. Iowa defense could contain Washington's offense, but they will not shut it down, especially if Iowa offense can't stay on the field. Washington has the horses, second horse reference, to put 7 men in the box to slow down Iowa's run game and force Cade to pass. I think we threw the ball 14 times. Iowa defense hasn't stopped a single red zone drive all season, most of those coming against the best team in the country. who did get beat, but nonetheless. Opponent's offense is 8-for-8 TDs against Iowa defense in the red zone. Iowa could surprise us all and have a heck of an offensive show, but it's a slim chance. Washington is on a roll, and it isn't stopping for Iowa. I said, I think you might be the only person in the country that thinks Washington could lay a 50-burger on Iowa. So I'm very anxious to come back to these thoughts on Saturday afternoon. We had this conversation on Thursday or Friday. I have not responded to him. We must have caught him or her, Jacqueline Hyde, on a bad week because he does end up responding to that. I don't base my predictions on what everybody else thinks. I see what I see and I evaluate. Sometimes I'm wrong, but most of the time I'm right. I must have caught him on a bad week. Iowa would go on to score 40, pretty much absolutely shut down scoring-wise the Washington defense. 30-point lead in the fourth quarter before a garbage-time touchdown. Iowa probably could have had more, and in heaven there is no beer. I just want to start the podcast with that fun little exchange from our YouTube channel to let you all know that there are dumbasses out there just like that, and you're sitting next to them in Kinnick. They might be your neighbors. You see them at the grocery store. Everybody thinks they know what's going to happen. Everybody thinks they know about these teams. But you know why they play the games, Kevin and Grant? You know why? So that you can get results like the Alabama-South Carolina game this past weekend, the Illinois-Purdue game this past weekend, the Ohio State. I thought I knew. I thought, oh, I think Ohio State could probably handle Oregon. No, no, sir. They play the games for a goddamn reason.
And it's to make fun of people like Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes. Right? This idiot thought he knew something. He thought he really did something with that 800-word response there on our YouTube channel. And there are so many people like that who are just convicted. They're like, man, I know college football. You know, odds are this person is overweight or obese, had 13 bags of chips open on Saturday, way too many calories, winded walking up the stairs to type that on his computer. But we caught him on a bad week. You know, he probably does get most right, right? He sees what he sees and he evaluates based off of that, you know?
My favorite comment was the heart of a racehorse.
Mm-hmm.
As if, like, and that's like, this dude's like your nephew. Like, I know fans always try to get a feel for the personality of the players they see on the field. You know, I mean, you get a little bit of that through interviews, but that's the one thing. It's like, you really don't know these people.
At all. Like, our Logan Lee interview really, really sort of highlighted that. Logan Lee was so intellectually impressive and just in all ways. He was very impressive on the field. But, like, if you don't know that guy, you probably just think, oh, he's big, big jockey, defensive lineman, might be a dummy, run around, tackle ball. Oh, ho, ho. That dude's going to, like, be the president someday. I would agree with you, Kevin. Sometimes the read that fans get, like, oh, I know this guy. I've watched 2.5 games of this guy play. I know everything about him. I know exactly how this game is going to go. We're all just guessing, people. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. How you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. It was a good open.
Did I make the night better with that open?
It was interesting. I liked it. I do like Will Rogers though, overall. Like,
he's a solid quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's a solid quarterback. If we're talking him, Mississippi State kind of legend.
Yeah, no. I you offer me Will Rogers right now, I'm taking him. That was nothing against Will Rogers, just Jacqueline Hyde.
Also, do racehorses have overly large hearts? Did I miss out on that?
I would guess that they have bigger hearts than humans.
Sure.
It certainly can pump some oxygen into the blood. You know, for those.
Then, like, when you just go to, like, whale, if you're picking exceptionally large hearts, what?
This guy has the heart of a. Well, generally, I think you'd go to heart of a lion, right? Isn't that the. It's kind of the.
I guess that does check out. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic game by the Hawkeyes. A great bounce back. I don't want to act like we all saw this coming. I don't think anybody saw 40-16 coming, 40-10 before the touchdown late. I don't even know necessarily what told me. If Grant, you want to pull up that Ward's winners graphic, because we'll roll through those and recap that quickly. I don't know why I thought there'd be a lot of points in this game. I think it was just the fact that Iowa had hit all but one over on the season, and they continue that trend for this year, going against the trend of years past, probably for the last decade. Now, 5 out of 6 on over games this year. JMU early, they hit that one. Iowa Wash over. And then, unfortunately, I went 0-3 on my last three. So, I had a chance to go 5-0 after two games. And Rutgers, Wisconsin, another. We all thought that was going to be a great game. It wasn't. It wasn't at all. Ohio State, I thought they could get it done. Defense looked suspect a lot of the time. They lose the game out in Oregon. And then West Virginia +3. Iowa State, solid performance in West Virginia in the nighttime arena. So 2-3 for your boy. 11-13. I have work to do. I have work to do. Gary's crushing.
Gary, you just had a crazy weekend then, huh? Like, because you were not – just take us through. What was your record coming into the week?
Shoot, you know what? I had the graphic. I could find it. But we went 8-4 on the weekend, so we did pretty good. Starting out, we went 5-0 in our first five picks, though. So we did really well. Western Kentucky uniform night, awesome. Got it done. Clemson is just destroying everyone. That might just be automatic for the rest of the week. But we got just a bunch of statement losses as well, like USC, statement loss. Cal, statement loss. Colorado at like what midnight, statement loss.
Hey, you and I called that one on taglines last week, Grant, and I put that one in the book. That one covered. I think we got that at +4, +4.5, wherever we were.
Yeah, some of these I do feel bad because I think if you got the line I got, it covered. But I don't think – like I think UCLA won by 4. Or Minnesota won by 4. So I don't know if, depending on what the spread you got was with UCLA, it might not have worked. But I had 5.5, so it did.
So a great week for the G-Bone. I mean, your record's up to 32-23 with one push on the year. I mean, that's winning betting right there, I think.
Sure. I mean, it'll come back around for sure. But I'm not going to apologize for winning.
Maybe it won't, though.
Who knows?
Kevin, what do you got?
We had a solid weekend. We went 3-1. Yeah, the lone loss being the wrong side of the Iowa-Washington over-under line. I had the under. Didn't forecast a whole lot of points in this game. The Hawks had pretty good game.
Had a great day.
Yeah. So lose that one. I had the under in the LSU-Ole Miss game. That goes under pretty comfortably. The over in the Maryland-Northwestern game barely goes over.
Yeah,
Northwestern with an impressive win on the road there.
Yeah.
And then I had the over in the Ohio State-Oregon game. That goes over pretty comfortably as well. A lot of points in that game.
Yeah. Good. A lot of Kevin on the over-unders last week. That was fun. Kevin moves to 16-9-1. So, you know, I'm not doing well, but if you're tailing the other two guys here,
it'll come back around. We're going to work on this together, right? Yeah, this is a syndicate.
We can all win.
Yeah.
We can all win. Unless we pick against each other like I have against you two the last couple weeks on a few picks. Nonetheless,
we both had West Virginia. I mean, we're putting sure. together.
Sure. We'll continue to do better. We're going to give you our best picks every week. That's Ward's Winners Recap.
I got a question for Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin, are you a like secondary Ole Miss fan now?
You could probably say that, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How do you, crazy game. How are you feeling? Is it?
They are so freaking talented, but man, they're not very disciplined. So many penalties. They're a heavily penalized team. And it kind of hurt him in the end. Also had a hard time protecting Jackson Dart. He gave up a lot of sacks. And they've got like just one glaring weakness in their secondary. Like one guy is just getting picked on all day. I think he gave up like 3 touchdown passes. So
it's tough.
Fair enough.
That is tough. But LSU's quarterback's pretty solid, man.
Nussmeier?
Yeah. He had one like NFL level throw. It was the touchdown to tie it and send it to overtime.
That was crazy.
Were you watching? That was NFL caliber throw.
That was insane. Yeah. Crazy game.
Kirk Ferentz, 200 wins in the Big Ten now, all 200 at Iowa. Who did that move him into? Is he in second place now?
I believe he's tied for second with Woody.
Tied Hayden. For second. I don't think he'll. I don't think he's going to end up catching Amos Alonzo Stagg. But unbelievable what Kirk's been able to do. Congrats, coach, from two former players and a producer on 200 wins. Kevin, we got to be a part of currently a little over 20% of those wins by my count. I believe we were part of 43 of those wins. And on that count, it was 8-7-12-8-8, I believe. I think the math checks out there.
8-7-12-8-8, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of crazy to think we were part of a fifth of those wins for Coach Ferentz. It was obviously a lot of great times. Coach is unbelievable. He deserves everything that he's gotten. Really good clip by Jermari Harris after the game that I'm going to play for y'all. He was asked about Coach Ferentz.
By the way, tied with Amos Alonzo Stags and chasing Woody Hayes.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
How far are we behind Woody?
5, it looks like, to tie.
All right. This is from Jamar. He was asked what Kirk Ferentz means to him.
Yeah, it's hard to put into words how Coach Ferentz is to me. I almost see him as a step-grandfather. I think he was – I talked to him a lot earlier in my career. And I came – in my career, I started off kind of slow. You know, he was on me a lot, and very hard. And I think just breaking down our relationship like he did and rebuilding it back up for 6 years, you know, I know he's someone I can go talk to whenever you pick up the phone. It's so much I can go on and on about Coach Ferentz and what he means to countless of individuals throughout the world and throughout the country, throughout the world probably. I can't even imagine how many players whose lives he's touched, and that's the man he is, and he's just he's the greatest. He's the greatest. He helped me become a man. What I set out to do here at Iowa, I feel as though I've done, and I'm going to continue to do. That's from go from a boy to a man and taking care of my loved ones, and he's a living example of that. And I feel as though that's why Iowa football is why Iowa football is, because it all starts with him, the head man, and it trickles down.
Decent little clip there.
Pretty solid. Funny thing that I picked up there is, like,
I know exactly where you're going.
He's step grandpa now, because he was stepdad when we were playing. So we're getting older now.
Yeah, I mean he is 60.
He's not that much older than our parents, but yeah, he's
yeah. The other thing I picked, I thought you were actually going to go this way. First of all, Jermari Harris, huge interception. If old Jacqueline Hyde was correct, and in 6 games, Washington quarterback Rodgers had only thrown 1 interception. Well, he's thrown a couple now, because Jermari Harris had an absolute – he played this ball perfectly. I don't know if you saw it, Kev, but unbelievable pick in a really crucial time for Harris this past weekend. He has been, I would say, our most consistent – and maybe you can tell me I'm wrong, Kev, but he's been our most consistent and biggest playmaker in the secondary this year. And I think he's earning himself some money, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Or at least a chance at some money. And he's one of those 6-year guys. Like he said, 6 years. And he said, I talked to Coach a lot earlier in my career. My career started slow. And we had to break that relationship down to build it back up. I'm guessing Jermari was
talking to Coach not on a voluntary basis.
He was being summoned to the office maybe a couple times.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with 3 things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to Gray's Gourmet To Go.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. But it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's gonna love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
I mean, damn, this is what
mean,
you
used to love to hear that though, because like not everyone's, I mean, pretty much everyone is not matured to the point there which they need to be when they enter the building at 18, fresh out of high school, right? But the fact that he worked on the things that, you know, coach and him talked about to, you know, get him to where he's at today as a player and as a human being as well, shows incredible maturity, and just love to see that out of him.
Not only that, but, and I hate to make the, I hate to bring it up, but it's a comparison, because I do think there's some bridges you can draw there. You know, there's a lot of guys who get in that situation early on in their career, Kev, and we could name them off. To me, to some extent, I mean, I wasn't being summoned to the office, but there was plenty of like, this guy's not doing a lot on the good side early on. And you don't get playing time. You maybe don't even get reps in practice. You feel like you're getting picked on, maybe.
You're like, hey, coach is coming down on me. Like, I don't like, really know how much I like it here.
He's singling me out. They're talking to me about grades. They're telling me I'm not doing good enough. A lot of guys, they phone it in. Like, screw it. I'm going home. Or I'm in today's world, I'm transferring. I'm out. And for the rest of their life, we have several teammates who, for the rest of their life, when asked about their time at Iowa, will say, I didn't get a fair shake. They singled me out. They didn't like me. They yada, yada, yada. And if they would have maybe just framed it mentally in a different way, made a few different decisions, decided to buckle in, and it's not for everybody, right? There are reasons to leave or go elsewhere or take a different path. But a lot of guys could take this path that Jermari, we're kind of deducing from Jermari's words here. And to see him come back around, like Kevin said, on the mature side of things, and talk with such love and appreciation for coach, which you got to see if you follow any of the social medias. You see Dallas, you see Babineau, who is the honorary captain. You see Pat talking about it on the radio and tweeting about it. This 04 team was honored, I think, after one of the quarters out there, Big Ten championship team. It's good. It's so good to see that come back around. And it doesn't surprise me that he's playing his best football when he also gives an interview like that. They go hand in hand. So love that at a Jamar.
And like you said, huge interception, because, you know, Washington's going into, I know they have some kind of kicker issues, but yeah. You know, they're in scoring position to make that a one score ball game in the third quarter, and comes up with a pick. Iowa goes on a nice little drive and kind of swings the momentum of the game back to Iowa's favor.
100%. And you know, it wasn't like Iowa's defense did dominate this game. We gave up nearly 400 yards. We were actually outgained. I mean, if you gave us the final stat line and didn't tell us the score, you'd probably be guessing that this was a lot closer than it was. The final stats there. Let me grab that quick. 393 yards for Washington to a 328 total for Iowa. I mean, Rodgers, the other quarterback played some as well. 34 of 50 passing for them. They had, I think, two or three 14-plus play drives. But it's that bend don't break that really – it really showed through in this one. And it's good to see, because it didn't versus Ohio State. It's hard to versus a team like that. And it has in other parts of this season, but to really see it come together, I would say this leads me to probably the conclusion that this is three phases, four quarters, clearly the best game Iowa has put out this year.
Yeah, as a whole, for sure. You know, obviously this things the defense would like to do better, but I don't think they give up any big plays, which is huge. And like you said, bend don't break, playing within the defense, you know, Washington took what we gave them for the most part. There's some missed tackle issues that we could probably clean up. But, you know, that was a pretty solid offense that, and when it came time, like down in the red area, we got a huge, huge block out of YA, you know, came up with a turnover a couple times. It's really hard to go 3 to 5 yards at a play at a time all the way down the field. And the beauty of Iowa's defense is that you have to do that pretty much every play. Cause you get one play off, you're off schedule, you're behind the sticks, you're now in trouble.
Yeah. Now we're cooking.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously Iowa's offense was huge, huge for this too. Cause like we said, Washington was moving the ball. And if we weren't scoring points on offense, then, you know, maybe a few of those turnover and downs were punts that pinned us deep, or, you know, they take a field goal that, you know, really changes the makeup of this game. But us scoring points early in the first half was huge for this. Like, cause yeah, once we go up 23-10 there in the third quarter, we can really kind of play to our strengths as a team, and it's really tough to come back. You know, obviously Iowa State did it earlier in the year, but that's because we're giving up big plays. And if we don't give up big plays, it's really, really hard to come back against this Iowa team.
The clock just drains. They'll choke you out. There's just not enough time. And we mentioned that stat that Iowa State did happen to find themselves onto the positive side of for them. That was like, you know, they're 70-2 or something when they lead by 8 or more in the second half or something like that. And, you know, like you said, you get that 23-10 lead. And as a fan, knowing that stat, you basically know. I thought about it. I was like, oh, well, this game's pretty much in the books then, because we're going to put the clamps on. And you saw them have to open it up a little bit more, or try, Kevin, in the second half there. They had to drop back and start attempting some longer downfield stuff.
I mean, just go to the next drive. It's 4th and 11 at the Iowa 39. And they got to go for it.
Yep.
Yeah, one, obviously, they have kicker issues that they got to address. But
sure do.
You know, if it's not 23-10 at that point, most teams are punting that ball to an Iowa offense and say,
absolutely,
here's 90 yards. Good luck, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, last year that ball gets punted.
Yeah.
But this year, we've got this kid named Caleb Johnson, and he's good. Okay, and I know running backs are like, you know, their value in the at the next level is not nearly what it used to be, sort of around our time, Kev, in high school and as we came into college. But this guy's going to make some money at the next level too. All right, he is, after this weekend, he is still second to this Superman that is Ashton Jeanty, which, by the way, I was looking at some Boise State like prop bets last night. Grant, what I wanted to tell you before I hit the mic, I was like, I got something that will excite Grant. I stayed up for the entire Ohio State Oregon game.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. You watched you stayed up for the top five match?
Stayed up till 9:15.
No. Almost 10 o'clock.
Was it really almost 10?
Oh, yeah. And I was pissed about it, but I did it. I did it. And it was semi worth it.
It was worth. Oh, come on! It was a great football game.
Well, the ending was a little bit like,
Don't act like you were mad about it. What?
I'm not mad about it, but I would have liked to see like as the time ran out, an attempt from Ohio State and not.
I mean, they easily could have had it. Just, you know,
don't get a penalty,
or don't you know be smart and go down.
Yeah.
Right away, or take off right away, or throw the ball right away, or, you know, any of those things.
Anyway, I was up late. I was looking and I saw Grant tweet 1 hour till Ashton Jeanty takes on Hawaii or something.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say I stayed up and watched all of Hawaii versus Boise State. Mm-mm. And then I would have been, you might have gotten a standing ovation.
No,
none of us are on that G-bone sleep schedule.
No, you know, not even close.
It was an early Hawaii. I think it started at like before midnight, which is crazy.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm looking at Boise State prop bets, and of course this Jeanty guy has been going off. I'm like, what could possibly be the odds for him to score a touchdown and then like two touchdowns, three touchdowns? Okay, so the odds that he scored one touchdown,
it's got to be like minus 300.
It was minus 1,000.
Really?
That he scored a touchdown.
Surprised it's not more, huh?
Two plus touchdowns. Take a guess.
I mean, it's even money.
I'd go like minus 400.
Minus 400.
That's insane.
Three plus touchdowns was minus 120.
That's actually insane.
He only scored one this weekend, and I actually, they won by the exact spread. Otherwise, I would have had a nice little two-team parlay between them and Colorado to cover. Yeah, unbelievable. And of course, he goes for another 230 or something, one touchdown, like, you know, 21 carries.
But
yeah, outside of him, Caleb Johnson is still second in the country, 937 yards rushing. Actually caught a touchdown yesterday as well. Nice little play out in the flat. Tim Lester cooking, or Kirk Ferentz, depending on who you think calls the plays. But I'll leave that one to you. The audience, Caleb Johnson is special. And
when's who was the last 2,000-yard rusher we had at Iowa?
I mean,
because he's got a chance.
Did Sean Green rush for two?
I don't think he did.
Have we ever had someone rush for two? Have to, right?
Hold on.
Producer Grant.
Hold on.
No, but I got another fun stat to pull up. I was curious about the penalties because I believe coming into this game, we led the country in fewest penalties in the country. We often do this. We're always top 10. We still lead the country after this week. You want to take a guess at who's second?
And least penalized?
Least penalized.
Who is second? I don't know. I feel like Northwestern's always up there for that.
Iowa State.
Oh.
Iowa and Iowa State currently lead the country. Iowa has only been penalized 16 times for 155 yards this year. The next best is Iowa State at 21 times for 166. Army, Georgia State, NIU, Rutgers, Western Michigan, they all have 22, 23, 24. Iowa only has 16. They're an anomaly on the penalty side of things. That was a. We had five penalties in the first half of football. We've had 11 penalties in 11 halves. That's pretty good.
So I got it right here. Sean Green had 1,850 yards.
Ooh.
His Doak Walker year. Yep. And that is also the single season rushing record at Iowa.
So we have not had a 2K.
We've not had 2K, and this Caleb Johnson is on pace to set the single season all-time record.
And playing in a bowl game, so what is 937 divided by 6? It's about 155. That would do it. That would do it. With a bowl game, that would do it. That would put him at 2K.
You know what's even crazier is you only need 2551 to get into the top 10 all time. That's Tyler Goodson at number 10.
For career rushing yards?
For career rushing yards, yep.
Goodson had 2,500, huh?
Yeah, over the span of 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That 2019 year probably had the majority of them.
Wow. 2,500 to get into the top 10. I agree with you. That is sort of surprising. It doesn't seem I sit here with a microphone in front of my face and having not gained a single rushing yard for the University of Iowa, saying that 2,500 in a career seems not super hard to do if you become the starter, but clearly it is.
You got a few receiving yards on you, though.
I do have 18 of those. 18 receiving yards. 100% completion percentage. So fun stat there with the Iowa State penalty thing, which probably is a reason why they're 6-0 for the first time since like 1938. And I feel like, Kev, they're actually having a little bit of a year that could mimic our undefeated year. And let's pump the brakes a little bit. They've got a long ways to go. But if they are somehow able to pull it off, they are potentially setting themselves up for a similar postseason to us, where if they get matched up against like a Georgia or a Oregon or a Ohio State, like it could very easily go in the wrong direction, and 12-0 Iowa State could just get absolute. Well, I guess they would probably have a 13-0 Big 12 championship. I don't know. So they get
an automatic bye, don't they? If Big 12 champion gets automatic bye,
not necessarily. If they were 13-0, they absolutely would. Yes. 100%. But Grant and I went through a scenario on Taglines where if they lose a couple games, but BYU also loses a couple games, or Kansas State, whoever they meet in the Big 12
champion. 10-3 Big 12 champion.
Could be a lower rated team than like a 12-1 Boise State.
Like undefeated Army.
Or undefeated Army. And so they would technically
get the group of five would get the bye. Huh.
Yeah, it's the highest seeded four conference champions that get those spots.
Ah.
So if Ginty keeps running for 900 yards a game, Iowa State could find themselves as a Big 12 champion, but as like, I guess they would be what, the five seed? And then they would play the last team in or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't actually be the worst thing. But that's a long ways away, six games away. And
Other fun rushing stat. Caleb Johnson currently has 12 rushing touchdowns on the year.
Sure.
The single season Iowa record is 20 by Sean Green. That very same.
That's definitely in danger. Because theoretically, Iowa State and Ohio State are probably the best defenses on our schedule this year. So we've played two of the six best defenses already. Like, is anybody left on the schedule? I guess Wisconsin's starting to look a little bit better.
Nebraska's defense left on the schedule.
Nebraska's got a good defense. But I think Caleb Johnson could definitely get nine more touchdowns to break that record for sure. For your consideration, Doak Walker Award.
I do believe also his Caleb Johnson stats would be on pace to be better than Derrick Henry's Heisman season as well.
Jesus. It's going to be so sad if he does stay on this pace and this Genty guy just goes for a like an all-time season.
Like, I mean, if it ended tomorrow, he's already had an all-time season.
You're right. Well, not like historically as far as
like statistically, sure. Yeah.
But like for just your normal average running back season, yeah, you could end right now and he's like, "Yeah, I'm happy. I'll take 1200 yards and 20 touchdowns or whatever he has." Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How many yards would Caleb Johnson have if he was playing in the Mountain West? I don't know. More probably? I mean,
no idea.
Hard to say less.
Can't really argue for less unless somehow they think Boise State's offensive line is just god awful and way worse than ours. But yeah, I don't know. It was, I think the takeaway from this weekend, boys, is that my mom even texted me this, and I take it for what it's worth, but my mom goes, "Wow, it's actually fun to watch Iowa when they're winning like this." I was like, yeah, it's better than the alternative. I mean,
I don't know, man. I missed my close one score ball games. I was there, and in the fourth quarter, a lot of people were heading towards the exits. So, I mean,
you did attend.
Do Iowa fans really want us to score 40 points every game? I'm not so sure.
I think the perfect balance is like you go up by like 14 or 17 points towards the end of the fourth quarter. That's the perfect balance. It's like it's sort of close
game and you pull away late.
Yeah. But this one was.
I want us to dominate every opponent. I disagree. I want every game to be 100-0. I don't want to sweat for a single.
I'm just telling you, man. The attendance in the stadium come the fourth quarter was
started to lack a little bit.
Significantly less than when there's a one score game in the first quarter. So.
I'll tell you who did show up this week, and that is, a potential nominee for the Premier Automotive Collision of the Game was our this fun fan that was in the front row.
Joe, what the heck happened?
So I seen the kickoff, and the ball was coming real fast, and I knew it was going over the end zone, and I knew it was coming right at me, so I put my hands up. But that ball's going a lot faster than you really think it is. And it went right through my hands, and it hit me in the face.
But you popped right back up.
Yeah, that's what Hawkeyes do. You know, we don't give up. We swarm. Ball's on the ground. We're there to get it. And I was just being a true Hawkeye fan. And
Joe, what the heck?
I did see that. I got a good kick out of that. Pat's just dying there in the booth.
He is dying in the booth. And It's because one, he knows this guy is toasted, and you can tell. Two, if you watch the video, I mean this man was locked in basically from the time this was off of Steven's foot. Like, he had plenty of time to catch this thing if he was going to catch it. And three, I think Pat knows he gets a little bit of like, things happen a little faster when you're actually trying to do it than when you're watching, because Pat's played the game. And it is, you watch a kickoff and it kind of flies through the air slow, and it's, you're up in the stands, you're away from it. You're like, oh, that's, it kind of just lofts in there. No. You go out to practice. If you ever get a chance, walk out onto the practice field and get the jug machine rolling. Let that thing launch it into the air. You stand about 40 yards away and catch a punt out of the jugs machine. That thing comes down like a heat-seeking missile, and they make it look a lot easier and a lot more nonchalant on the field when they catch those balls.
But I'd also argue punts are a little bit tougher, but kickoffs are one of the easier things to do on a football field, is just catch the ball.
Sure, yeah,
and, I would agree. Maybe think twice before criticizing the players. It's hard shit they're doing out there, man.
I think that's a good point. If you watch the video, I highly suggest you do. This was straight from the Fox College Football. They cut together the video of him getting hit in the face and the video of Pat and Dolph in the booth. It's fantastic. He doesn't get his hands up even remotely close to catching that ball.
Yeah, he says in the interview, he's like, made my best effort, but like his stance is like he's asking the ball to strike him down. Like, he just tried to catch it with his face.
Smite me.
It almost looks like his intended goal was to just headbutt the ball. Like, it was not even close.
There was a big, big old sigh from the fans in the crowd when that happened. Like, everyone in the stadium saw it happen. So it was hilarious.
It's what Hawkeyes do.
Me, hop back up.
It's what Hawkeyes do, man. We swarm. We love being here on Saturdays, man. Fantastic stuff.
It's also a guy, an Illinois camera guy, also got drilled in the face this week.
Did he?
Kick as well.
That was a wild game.
That was a crazy game. Yeah. Which was going on at the same time as the Penn State USC game that was crazy at the end.
Also a great game. I mean, we were just blessed with a great weekend of college football this weekend. And guess what? The slate's pretty good next weekend too. So just a great time to be a football fan. But yeah, that Iowa-Purdue game or Illinois-Purdue game might have been the best game of the
– Dude, 50-49? Are you kidding me?
It's a classic Bielema shootout like everyone expected.
And I don't know if you guys have heard the announcer of that game. I don't know if it's the Illinois play-by-play guy or what, but that guy is electric too. I bring up that kick, one, because it's funny, and how would we not bring up that video of Pat just giggling? But two, there was one team in this game that does not have issues at the kicker position, and that's the Iowa Hawkeyes, and it brings warmth to my heart, makes me happy. Drew Stevens having himself a year, and yesterday you could say was the premier game of the six he's had. Four opportunities at field goal. All of them counted. One was very close. Happened to be back-to-back close with a kick from the Washington Huskies that I thought was not good. And I honestly thought Drew's off the foot was looking not good. Intel from Brady Ross, who said he was in the stadium, said it actually did look like it slipped in maybe. But 4-for-4 out of Drew Stevens. The kid kicks it out of the end zone and hits fans consistently. And that's a weapon. That's a weapon. Not to mention Reese Dakin. Didn't need him a lot yesterday. Had two. Ooh,
had a couple bombs.
Two 60-yard nukes. I was criticizing him earlier in the year. I thought fairly. Some people think that because I said something, he's punting better. I don't think that's the case. I think he's just settled in a little bit.
People are saying.
But he is showing what his true potential is, and he is helping the Hawks huge. Shout out to Reese Dakin and Drew Stevens. Maybe the premier automotive collision of the game should be the balls coming off their foot, because I think that qualifies as well. My actual nominee was late game Xavier Wampa.
He was throwing some nasty hits out there.
He was getting aggressive. I mean, he had some pressures now. Aaron Graves, by the way, had a couple big hits. We had some great stuff going on. Kev, D-line got pressure like they have not yet this season.
Yeah, a couple forced fumbles, then that's – you just love to see it, man. Just makes it a lot easier to play with defense like
that. God, it helps a lot, doesn't it? Holy smokes. When we can pressure the quarterback and make him move, like, oh, my God, that helps so much. Herkett getting in there. Llewellyn, I think, had a big play.
Dog.
Graves had two big plays. Wye is a absolute steel beam in the middle of our defense. I mean, we are dogs. Grant Allen, dog.
Yeah.
Twitter, dog.
They're more dogs than me. We got
maybe. Good stuff out of the defense yesterday. Other, you know, giving up 400 yards. I would say I was about as excited as you could be still giving up 400 yards. Like I was very happy with the defense.
Yeah. I mean, as long as we're not giving it big plays, like we'll
take
any football game out there.
And blocking field goals helps too. Like that's another 3 points that doesn't show up because frankly, I don't think they even know what's going on their side of things. Anything else to highlight in this game? Cade McNamara throws his first touchdown pass to a power four against a power four team since he played us in the 21 Big Ten championship game. That's noteworthy. It happened to be to Caleb Johnson, but then we also threw one to,
so he got two.
What's the young kid's name that caught the one late?
I want to say last name Howard.
Dayton Howard.
Dayton Howard. Okay. They like this kid, I think. They like this kid. I think he had a couple catch or two last week. He catches he catches this one. I know it's his first touchdown. I think first catch. Spikes the ball, and God forbid we spike the ball, right?
There's children watching. How could he? How dare he?
That despicable behavior. The thing that every single kid on the playground does growing up when you're playing football at recess. What's the two best celebrations? You either spin it or you spike it. How is that a 15-yard penalty? I'm so confused. And not to mention, going back to our penalties, we have the least in the country by a large margin. That's one of them. One of them we took on, I think, on purpose, like at right at half earlier in the year. A third one was earlier in this game where I think we got called for like unsportsmanlike conduct because we were blocking after the whistle.
Oh no. Yeah. That one probably,
he did shove him into a locker.
Yeah. Yeah. That was probably valid. He's blocking like 8 yards out of bounds.
Okay. Well, he deserved it. I mean, we're just trying to finish blocks around here.
I loved it. I mean, he took that guy for a ride, but yeah, it was probably a valid penalty.
How is spiking a ball a penalty?
They would have Gronk arrested if they could.
Oh yeah, he would be. Yeah, he'd be.
I don't know. Like that? Did he do it like in the opponent's face or anything?
No,
like
no. It was just out of excitement. No malintent. No nothing. You know the other thing that I was listening to the reaction podcast by Andrew Downs and Chris Hassel that they brought up that I thought was a really good point that I've thought about before, but I just haven't brought it up. Is like, how do we not on the field goals have better technology? Why are we still letting two old guys look straight up in the air and decide if it's good? How do we not use lasers? Tennis has immediate.
They got Hawkeye. Yeah, they get feedback down to the millimeter.
If you watched any Olympic volleyball this past summer, they have a camera system that is immediate. They know if the ball's in or out. How do we not have that in the field goals? And how do we not have that on the end zone? Like in the end zone pylon cams. We have billions of dollars in this sport.
Well, to be fair, also when there's a potential first down, they bring out a chain and a stick.
Why are we doing that? Just because that's what we've done? That's the worst. We're just letting fat guys measure the ball and hope that they got it right? I get it. Like, we got it. We got to modernize the game a little bit.
Now, maybe it's just the NFL, but I thought like, there's usually a camera angle like right underneath the goalpost, right? And we didn't have that on Saturday.
I just don't know how we don't have something better than two guys guessing if it, because when it goes over the post, that's a hard call to make. Like, I don't know. Seems absolutely asinine to me, but who knows? Any other thoughts on this game, Kev? Takeaways. We talked about how this game felt like, hey, if we can get this one, we should feel pretty good about our opponents the rest of the year, these next six opponents. Now, I immediately saw the sentiment of, oh, Iowa smoked Washington. Maybe Washington wasn't that good, and actually, like, Nebraska or Wisconsin is the real test left on Iowa's schedule. There's always the shifting of well, no pun intended, the field goal post. But, but like, I don't know. I still felt pretty good about Saturday's win, and I still feel like I have the feeling going into this week that in the second half of this season, Iowa's shown improvement in all three phases of the game. They've shown a lot more chemistry. They've shown development in a lot of their schemes offensively. They've stopped allowing the big plays you talked about, Kev. They're doing a lot of things where when KF says, hey, we have to get better each every single day, every single week, we will be a better team at the end than we are at the beginning. The best teams get better throughout the season. I feel good going into every game the rest of this year.
Yeah. I think the previous podcast we said Washington was like one of the two best teams, like them and Nebraska are probably the two best teams left on the schedule. I think that's still the case. You know, maybe you can make the case for Wisconsin. Wisconsin's getting a lot better throughout the season as well.
For sure.
You know, they're coming off two big wins. You know, they beat Purdue by 50 and they beat Rutgers by 35. So they're playing better. And that'll be a tough game. It's always a tough game. Luckily it's in Iowa City, but kind of to the point that we said last week is like, this was a very important win to get us started for the back half of the year. And like you said, they are getting a lot better week to week. And that's what you need to do to have a successful season.
This game felt a little bit like when a shooter's in a slump. You know, Caitlin Clark goes in a slump and she sees one finally go through the net. And that gives you a little bit more confidence the next time down the court.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean it's going in, right? It doesn't mean you're going to get a good shot. But it makes you feel a little bit better and a little bit more confident in your next attempt. And I think that's big for this team. I think Cade honestly got a monkey off his back with like throwing a touchdown pass against a semi-decent opponent, a Big Ten opponent, Power Four opponent. I actually, you know, we fumbled. We brought in Sullivan for the goal line and we fumbled.
That was an ugly play.
Ugly play, but did you see the concept they were trying to do? They faked. They brought in the fullback and he put his hand on Sullivan like, hey, we're running the sneak. And then they were going to fake it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a quarterback sneak all the way, yeah.
And then they were going to run some action to the outside. I love what Lester's doing. So much misdirection. We ran a few end arounds. Caleb walked in on that first touchdown, like wasn't even touched. I love what we're doing offensively. You know, it's funny. If you had to take a guess what our offensive ranking is nationally, right? We've talked about how we were dead last year. What do you think we are right now?
Are we going by yards per game or what?
Yards per game, yes. And I know that's tough because we played Ohio State.
Range? Oh.
We are 93rd.
Oh.
But just being 93rd feels like such an unbelievable improvement. It is it's crazy. So I think it might not be 93rd, but I believe we're right around 90th. Defensively, I think we're 26th. We give up just over 300 yards per game. Or maybe it's like something like 320 or 330. It's not something horrible, but it certainly isn't the defense of the last couple of years. But hey, like we said, we just played the best team. They're not the best team in the country. They just got beat by Oregon.
I'd be curious what a scoring offense is, because it's probably actually, I mean, that Ohio State game's a little bit of an outlier, but our scoring offense might be better than 90 in the 90th.
I do believe that whatever the values are right now, they'll get better. Because I just think that I believe I was getting better, and I don't believe that – I think Iowa State's defense actually is very good, and I think Ohio State's defense, sans the game they played last night at 6:30 p.m., is very good as well. And we don't see a defense like either of those probably left on the schedule, and I think our offense is sort of hitting stride. So I feel good. I feel good, I think.
And then the other thing is – we're staying healthy.
Oh my God.
Like this is the most healthy I think I can recall an Iowa team in, I don't know,
KF actually said that. Yeah, in one of his pressers, I think 2 weeks ago, it might have been during the bye week, he said, I don't think we've ever been this healthy. Like this, they were asking what they were going to need to beat Ohio State. And he's like, well, for one, I don't think we've ever had health like this. Like, we don't have anybody that's – they get dinged up. He always says, hey, we got a few dings here and there. But, you know, we didn't have – one thing that goes a little bit untalked about is offensively, we did not have a Stringa this past game. He was out. So we were down to Ortworth, and I believe Hayden Large was out as well, actually. So we were down to like Ortworth and a fifth string tight end, plus Luke Lachey. So
that helps.
He helps for sure. So all things are good. Like I said at the beginning of the show, you know, winning covers up a little bit of that stench. Tides turn. Now you feel good.
I mean, I thought about this is that, you know, we are one of five plays in the Iowa State game away from feeling really good about this year right now.
I thought about that too, the perception shift. If just a field goal gets blown outside the post, right? If that last field goal they attempt goes wide and we win the game, literally that's all that has to happen. You change the result of one play, the last play of the game, and we're now 5-1. Probably ranked somewhere around
late teens, probably.
Yeah, 18th to 20th. And the perception, and we still theoretically in the fans' minds, oh, we can still maybe lose one game and be in the playoff conversation. The overall morale of this fan base, it would be so drastically different. And I get it. We did not win that Iowa State game, but the takeaway there is that one play doesn't change who this team is. We're the same team. So feel good about that, because I think the boys are starting to feel a little – hey, Grant, I think they're starting to feel a little nicey.
Huh? I don't know if John Gruden's hanging out in the building, but I think they're feeling pretty good.
Feeling nicey.
Also, we're tied for 64th in scoring offense.
There you go. There you go. We love that. We love that. That's cutting it in half, just like Lester said he wanted to do. Any other final thoughts or comments on the college football weekend? Who do we play next? Michigan State?
Michigan State.
And we got the night game.
The 6:30 game on NBC or Peacock, if you'd prefer, yeah. And the Hawks are 6.5-point favorites.
I don't prefer the cock, but...
I think Peacock does a great broadcast.
I was just waiting for one of you to say something. No, the cock's great. I'm sure the cock's good. It'll be good. love the cock. The one thing that I do want to say about this game, in all seriousness, in spite of the cock, is we lost to Michigan State our senior year, Kevin, at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And maybe this isn't the same team. They've got a new coaching staff. They're on a rebuild.
Three coaching staffs later, I think.
Right now. And $100 million. Well, no, they got out of the $100 million to Mel Tugger. Every single game for this team is going to feel like. Well, put it this way: we've talked about how KF and the staff is really good at making you feel by game time like shit. This team has a lot going for them. Like, we have to put everything into this to win this ball game. I think every single game left on the schedule, though we don't have a Penn State or an Oregon left on paper, there will be plenty of incentive and urgency around the complex for every single game, because there are reasons and things that this team can point to and say, hey, here's why we need to make this next week everything we care about.
Yeah, I mean, it's playoff football. I mean, they have to go 10-2 if they even want to sniff the playoff, right?
Yep. Yep.
So if they lose one more game, they're completely out. Done. Can't happen.
That's all they need right there for motivation.
Yeah. So you got to be on your shit every week.
Will be fun to have the Hawks in primetime. I love nighttime games. I don't love that as an away game, because usually a nighttime environment does give a half point or point to the home team. I don't know if Michigan State will have that kind of environment. I assume they'll sell good tickets and they'll have a decent showing there, but we will see. We'll be back to preview that game on Thursday. Of course, all week we got the content going on at the Wash Up Walk-Ons. Grant and I on Patreon, Taglines on Tuesday, David and I will do the press review show on Wednesday. After that preview show on Friday to help pregame the game, you have the 5-10-5 show with Coach Lima and I. We'll be here all week. See you then.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.